Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
This next conversation is one that I'm looking forward to. And the truth is, when I went away for about 3 months last year, participating in a journalism fellowship with the World Press Institute, there were many of these themes that were brought to the fore. The influence of artificial intelligence within our newsrooms and the media landscape. Today, we're building up on a conversation, having two halves of it, really, taking a look at a report that has been compiled by the Competition Commission, who had launched an investigation to fully unpack how big AI and technology companies like Google have been perhaps eating into the competition and the revenue that can be gained by media players in South Africa, who typically produce content, have it on their websites, and have it for us as our consumers to read it, consume it, watch it, view it, listen to it. But typically when you use Google and the likes of the assistant AI tools, this is where you have an opportunity where Google then diverts the traffic to their pages, a YouTube, or just gives you a synopsis and a summary using their AI tools like Meta, OpenAI, Gemini, and many other tools that exist. This will also lead us into a conversation to then take a look at how best it is that newsrooms and media houses need to respond to the opportunity, but also the concerns that come about from the heightened use of artificial intelligence within the digital age we live in. It's a twofold conversation. Later, we will be joined by Stylie Carol Labus, who joins us as the CEO of the Daily Maverick. He'll give us some insight into the state of newsrooms, a conversation we had before, but really reflecting on how newsrooms and media agencies need to fight back. And we're starting off the conversation with Patuchetso Manenze, analyst and technical lead at the Competition Commission. This is to take a look at the report that's been compiled by the Competition Commission. Patuchetso, Dimadegwa Nabudi. Thank you. I've been practicing my best Chivenda for you with many of my colleagues here in the building.
That was really good.
Thank you. Ndolebu Angamanda. We have Glenn Lewis to thank for that. But I must start off this conversation for us, you know, just to set some context for many South Africans who might not be aware of why this particular report and analysis is so critical. And as explained, you know, I mentioned how it is that we consume media, we go to certain websites for news, but the likes of Google has come in to challenge the market and has led to some disgruntlement. So maybe tell us more about the report, where it started, how far you've gone, what investigations you implemented, and some of the key findings.
Right. So the Competition Commission, we launched the inquiry because the media industry in South Africa has been facing financial strain. And this has been due to the digitization of news consumption, with consumers now shifting from consuming news through traditional means such as newspapers, radio, even TV. Media publishers have experienced a decline in traditional advertising revenue, and that is because user attention is rather predominantly online. So the inquiry was initiated to look into any conduct by search and social media platforms that play an intermediary role between users and news publishers. And also they compete for digital advertising revenue with this news media publishers. So we also looked into, as you were mentioning AI earlier, we also looked into the impact of AI chatbots and search powered AI on websites and the news media industry. So what we found is that there is a broad acceptance by even the big tech firms that media does play a critical role in supporting democracy and citizen rights. A role that these digital platforms can do is to support and not replace what news publishers have to offer to the country.
Yes.
So the inquiry has...
On that note, Patuchetso, I just want us to make it practical for many of our listeners. It's perhaps, you know, having a news article that's published on Kaya 959 by our local news team. And typically you'd log on to the Kaya 959 website to read that article. But if you're using Google or ChatGPT or another AI tool, it basically takes you to the synopsis that they might provide on their landing page, or even redirects you to some of the other platforms like a YouTube. Would that be correct?
Yes, that is definitely correct. So that is what we actually found, is that the big tech firms actually would prefer users to stay within their ecosystem. So you would find yourself consuming news on Google search or on social media platforms such as Facebook. And what we also found is that there has been, particularly with social media as well, that there has been deliberate intentions to deprecate or demote news articles or articles of political content so that users can stay within the ecosystem. With Google particularly, you know, they surface a lot more of the YouTube videos as opposed to essay publisher videos, which then creates an over-reliance on YouTube and and Google search.
Got you. And maybe help us understand, you know, what you found in terms of your report, especially when it comes to the financial losses and implications that media entities and publishers experience.
So what we found is that with the intention to then decrease referral traffic, so how the media industry works is that they survive off of advertising revenue, and digital platforms compete for advertising revenue in the digital space, that they compete for digital advertising revenue. So what we found was that with the decline in referral traffic onto news websites, where they could surface ads on their websites and earn digital advertising revenue, that decline in referral traffic has led to a decline
Go ahead, no problem.
in advertising revenue. Sorry.
And I think this is important, right? Because it's through this research and through this study that we really do understand the impact that these global technology and houses do have on the survival and the competitiveness of media outlets. I'm keen to understand what your recommendations have been as the Competition Commission, especially in light of the fact that we're trying to ensure that local media entities remain viable for business.
So one of the recommendations, rather a remedial action that has been proposed, is for, given the loss that media businesses have suffered due to search engine conduct, which is to deprive them of referral traffic and also preferencing or taking more preference to their own suite of apps like YouTube. What we have imposed, or what we are proposing, is for Google firstly to compensate news media publishers for their loss to the value of 300 to 500 million annually. And that is a calculation or a number that we came to. Given the evidence that we have and the calculations that we calculated, we actually found that news media actually brings value to Google search, which at 10 to 15% of total search queries on Google are of news content. So we use that percentage to actually, taking other things to consideration, of course, we use that percentage to attribute a percentage share of Google search advertising revenue to news media, which then brought us to the estimate of 300 to 500 to 500 million. And that is just to compensate news media for the loss that they have suffered. Also, there are recommendations to then also improve referral traffic for news media. What we also found is that community media and vernacular media have also suffered, mainly because of Google's search algorithm, of which it tends to then surface foreign media compared to local news. And that is for vernacular media, it's because search engines do not have the language. They don't have the capabilities to accommodate vernacular languages. They do not recognize it compared to English. And for community media, it's their inability to invest in things like developing their websites and also just investing in search engine optimization, which the larger media guys and foreign media have the ability to invest in. So compensate for some of those losses to also just open and create more possibilities for local news media to gain more referral traffic. We have made a number of recommendations in relation to Google search. And we have also made recommendations to conduct that we have observed in social media as well, where we know with Facebook, they have made a number of algorithm changes. Some which were directly relating to political content, some which were related to just demoting rather posts with links on Facebook user feed, which had an indirect impact on news media as well, where they were no longer able to solicit the level of referral traffic as they would before. So also to compensate for that, we have made recommendations to social media platforms such as Facebook and X to restore that referral traffic so that news media publishers can actually monetize from their websites.
Got you.
And not be reliant on social media platforms.
100%. I am so keen, Patuchezo. In a moment, I'll ask you how receptive these international platforms have been to the recommendations, if you've shared them with them. Because if the relationship between South Africa and the US is anything to go by, I think it does make for some interesting dynamics there. But I just want to pause it and welcome our next guest, Mr. Steely Karalambos, who joins us now to give us some insight into how media houses and newsrooms are responding. Steely is the CEO of the Daily Maverick. I'm going to, I spoke to Patuchezo in Chivenda. I'm going to try my best Greek with you, Steely, and say Kalispera.
Kalispera, Digani.
Oh.
How are you?
I'm great. All I know after that is if Khalisto. Thank you.
Very good.
I try. But nonetheless, I can imagine that you've been listening to our conversation with Patuchezo and the outcomes that the Competition Commission has brought forward, essentially saying, well, these social media networks need to compensate revenue to media outlets and, of course, find a viable way in terms of partnership. As an owner of a media platform in South Africa, what's your take on the findings?
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. We've obviously been listening to the presentation today and digesting as much of the 130-page report as we can to get our heads around, you know, what this means for the industry and what this means for our own organization as well. We commend the commission on what was really a big, big task of going through a very complex industry and the challenges that we've been facing, and the breadth and the volume of work was just immense. And so we commend them for this work as well, and we welcome many of the findings. Is certainly a step in the right direction. You know, the findings there are there, and the remedial actions that have been proposed on the back of, you know, practices that have adversely affected competition and, you know, that have exacerbated positions in the industry has had a negative effect on a very important industry. And so the constitutional importance of the news media was again reaffirmed in this report, which is good to see, and that we now need to try and remedy what the news industry has been going through, which has been a market failure that has been contributed to and sped up by the actions of big tech and social media. So we welcome these findings. We are a little concerned that the social media platforms were not recommended to participate in financial compensation, because the damage that they have caused in the spreading of mis and disinformation that has not only been detrimental to the news industry, but has been detrimental to democracies all over the world, and has also incurred a lot of losses, financial and otherwise, as an industry. But democracy has suffered as well. And so we will be making submissions to that effect, asking that the social media companies also participate in financial remedies as well, because of this massive problem, alongside the very good recommendation for them accountable for when this happens in future. On the whole, this is a step in the right direction. We hope, as you say, that the risk of non-adherence to these recommendations doesn't result in the ignoring of these recommendations because of the political situation in the USA especially. We think that is a very real risk given how the social media companies especially have backed away from fact-checking and other measures given, you know, who's in charge of the US right now and the moves that that administration is making. But we hope that at least Google, who have been willing participants in this process, will come to some kind of agreement very soon so that we can move from theoretical recommendations and proposals into actionable remedies and the repair of this much needed and very important industry.
100%. Stidi, this is where I get excited, right? Because this challenge is not unique to a market like South Africa. If you look at international newsrooms, whether it's AP or even MSNBC and many others across the US as well as other markets across the world, they face this similar challenge. And I'm keen to understand how we do need to see newsrooms and I guess media platforms and content creators, but rather news houses adapting to this environment. Because not only are we challenged by the threat of, you know, social media platforms and the likes of AI, but how that's also infiltrated the work environment and the talent pool in the markets that we serve. And South Africa is also very unique because media has been facing a lot of pressure on all aspects.
You're quite right. This is a global problem and one which no country has been able to make significant inroads to. Even the most developed countries in the world are experiencing the effects of this market failure. And I think this report was again very clear to call it a market failure. And that's important because the only way that you can remedy a market failure is through a policy intervention. Mm-hmm. And whether that is findings like that came out today from the Competition Commission, or it's a policy framework that uses tax incentives and rebates, for example, to encourage changes in behavior from the public or from business to support what is a public good. And that, again, was also recorded in the report as well, that journalism, public interest journalism, is a public good and is deserving of support because the benefits accrue to society on such a wide and important level. And so we need policy intervention. We need a competitive playing field where we need to correct some of the imbalances, which because there's been no regulation, there's been a Wild West approach, and there's been no accountability, and there's very little integrity left in our information system, which has all sorts of effects on our economy, on the news industry, on democracy, on our ability to hold free and fair elections. And also seeing the rise of autocracy and authoritarian governments around the world. And so all of that has been sped up and enabled by the lack of accountability in the information system and the fact that big tech and social media have benefited from the situation.
In the meantime, Stidi, the revenue models of media houses, how's that shifting?
Well, in response to the market failure and obviously the uneven playing field to be able to participate in digital advertising, the shift has moved from once where advertising was the bulk of the revenue and the profits for news media to one where people are now seeking out support from the public in the form of reader revenue, subscriptions, or memberships in our case as well. That in itself, some people are starting to find some success there. News24 has over 100,000 subscriptions. Daily Maverick has over 30,000 memberships. But we mustn't discount the impact that paywalls have on the information system if only those who can afford to pay can access professional media and journalism, then that has a limit on its impact and its reach. And so we mustn't discount the fact that the move to this model has had on society and its ability to deal with all the challenges where we have a broken down information system with very little integrity in it.
100%. We'll leave it there for today, but truly appreciate the time that the both of you have shared with us on this one. And I guess squeezing it in there, as mentioned, this is a feedback that still needs to be provided to the international houses. Patuchetso, before we let you go, just help us understand how that dynamic is going to be managed and ensuring that there's a heightened level of accountability and reciprocity and compliance to the recommendations you've made?
Yes, so we have been in contact and discussions with the platforms as well as stakeholders such as media industries and media associations. So we're trusting that over the next 6 weeks, which is the period that we have for comments to the findings as well as the remedial actions, proposed remedial actions rather, we're hoping that we will be receiving substantive comments to that, and we are going to take all comments into consideration, and we will be publishing the final report later on during the year. We'll publish the final report with the final remedial actions, and these are binding remedial actions that the stakeholders involved are obligated to implement. We have measures in place. We have measures in place to monitor and evaluate the compliance. We require the stakeholders to actually submit reports on compliance as well. We are mandated and authorized by the Competition Act to act within this power.
100%. Well, we're looking forward to it. And as Steely mentioned, they'll also be providing some feedback as members of the South African media landscape. Thank you kindly to you both. That's Patuchetso Manenze, analyst and technical lead at the Competition Commission. And I beg your pardon, I said Steely. Please pardon me for the incorrect pronunciation here. Steely, who's joined us, Carol Lambos, the CEO and of the Daily Maverick, helping us unpack how newsrooms do need to respond. Thank you kindly to the both of you.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.